Samyaktashanaya.
Endowed with right vision.
Buddhya.
Through reason.
Yoga.
By devotional service.
Vairagya.
By detachment.
Yuktiya.
Strengthened.
Maya virachite.
Arranged by Maya.
Loke.
To this world.
Charet.
One should move about.
Nyasya.
Relegating.
Kalevaram.
The body.
Translation,
endowed with right vision and strengthened by devotional service and a pessimistic attitude toward material identity, means it's hopeless, one should relegate his body to this illusory world through his reason. Thus one can be unconcerned with this material world. So you can repeat,
endowed with right vision.
And strengthened by devotional service.
And a pessimistic attitude
toward material identity.
One should relegate his body
to this illusory world
through his reason.
Thus one can be unconcerned
with this material world.
So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
It is sometimes misunderstood that if one has to associate with persons engaged in devotional service, he will not be able to solve the economic problem.
To answer this argument, it is described here that one has to associate with liberated persons, not directly physically, but by understanding through philosophy and logic the problems of life. It is stated here, Samyagdarshanaya Buddha. One has to see perfectly, and by intelligence and yoga practice, one has to renounce this world. That renunciation can be achieved by the process recommended in the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Yasu Vairagyam Yanam Cha Yad Ahaitikam.
The devotee's intelligence is always in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His attitude toward the material existence is one of detachment, for he knows perfectly well that this material world is a creation of illusory energy. Realizing himself to be part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, the devotee discharges his devotional service and is completely aloof from material action and reaction. Thus, at the end, he gives up his material body or the material energy, and as a pure soul, he enters the kingdom of God. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 31st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Kapila's Instructions on the Movements of the Living Entities.
Samyagdarshanaya buddhya yoga vairagya yuktiya maya virachite loke charam yasya kalevaram.
So Om Ganat Sambaranda Shah Gananjana Shlakya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shikurave Namaha.
So there are two subject matters touched upon here, several, but two that come to mind right away. That's jnana and vijnana. Jnana means knowledge, which one attains by associating with the right person, and vijnana one attains by practicing that knowledge. Very, very easy. And one of the byproducts of that vijnana, or associated realizations one gets from the vijnana, is called vairagya. The word vairagya is composed of two words, like we have the rajagun. Everybody understands rajagun is the mode of what? Mode of resting. No, the mode of passion. That's another mode. The mode of resting. Anyway, it's the mode of passion. And so we're just, passion means, you know, got to have this, got to have this, got to have that. Need it. And vairagya means to be the end of that stuff, you know, to be detached from that. No, don't need it. So that vairagya is attained by the, that's vijnana, actually. Jnana doesn't give you vairagya. It's vijnana that gives you vairagya. In other words, jnana means you're not the body. But that doesn't make you detached from the body. You can go into the hospital where people are suffering and tell people all day long you're not the body, and it's not going to make them feel any better. It'll probably just make them angry at you, isn't it? Like if you go, you know, you know, many times I preach like that to people, unnecessarily, but anyway, we preach like that to people like we're having trouble in their life. I say, this world is temporary. You know, somebody's having trouble in their household life, and I say, don't worry, it's temporary. You know, it gives them a lot of solace, you know. They say, get the hell out of here, Maharaj. Isn't it? So there has to be practice to get vairagya, renunciation. So instead of just saying the world is temporary, you chant Hare Krishna to them. I mean, that's actually much more practical, because if you just preach, they're not going to become renounced. Like the brahmacharya, you could just say, you're in Maya, Prabhu. And the person just gets angry at you. What is it? Upadesho hi morkanam prakopaya nashantaye. If you give someone who's foolish good instruction, they become nashantaye. Shantaye means peaceful. Nashantaye means the opposite of peaceful. They get angry. So you've got to be careful about who you give instructions to. The basic thing is to encourage people to engage in devotional service. And of course, it's interesting. If we go through the prayer that was made to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, we find the same principle. What is it? Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shiksharta eka purusha purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Shadira Dari Kripam Buddhir Yastrama Ham Prapajay. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you come to give us knowledge and teach us renunciation. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga, by the process of performing bhakti yoga. Shiksharta eka. This is very interesting. Shiksha. Shiksha means what? Does anyone know? Instruction. Eka means what? This is your one instruction. This is, in other words, the most important instruction. Obviously, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave many instructions, but this is the primary instruction. Shiksharta eka. This is your primary instruction. Perform devotional service. And Purusha Purana. You are the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira, that you have taken the form, or you are appearing, and not that the God, not that God takes a body, but you are appearing as Shri Krishna Chaitanya. You are the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dari. Kripam Bhudhir Yastvam Aham Prapadye. That, please, give me your mercy. Aham Prapadye. I am surrendering unto you. So, anyway, so we said we wanted to talk about the holy names, and this fits in very well with this verse and purport. So that's, what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's primary instruction, you know? What is the Yuga Dharma? Sankirtan. And, but what is Sankirtan anyway? Nobody knows. Sankirtan, yeah, I know it means chanting, but it, it there's many ways to analyze this particular phrase. Sankirtan, or word. Sometimes we analyze this as Sangha Kirtan, Sangha Kirtan with. Sang means with. Kirtan means with a lot of people, you know, Sankirtan, with a lot of people. You know, I mean, prasad distribution, book distribution, the standard things, just like if you say to a devotee, I'm going on Sankirtan today. It's actually Sankirtan, it's not Sankirtan, to tell you the right pronunciation. I usually pronounce it wrong anyway. It's Sankirtan. The Sankirtan movement, that's how Prabhupada would pronounce it. the devotees pronounce it. It's a Sankirtan. Especially in the South. You going to have Sankirtan today? It's how Damodar Priya pronounces it. Where's the Sankirtan? So, anyway, it's Sankirtan. So, it actually means other things other than, you know, congregational chanting or, you know, the Brihat Mridangam and everything like it. It means, the word also, san, could mean complete. Complete chanting. You understand? Kirtan, of course, means chanting. But complete chanting means complete absorption. That's another way to understand it. And another way to understand it is to be chanting in the association of devotees. So anyway, there's different ways to understand this word Sankirtan. You understand? In other words, we chant in the association of devotees. It's more powerful. Prabhupada actually said this, that it's more powerful to chant with the devotees in the association of Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. And when we chant, we should be very, complete, forceful. Like we were mentioning yesterday about, you know, the offenses on chanting. We started to talk about this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the primary offense from which all the offenses stem is the 11th offense, you know, inattentive chanting. He called this pramada, like that. So, and inattention, there's different types of inattention according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One type is sleeping. And we see that too, you know. Some devotees actually fall asleep when they're chanting. And then we have to just go, Hare Krishna! And it puts them further to sleep. So some devotees fall asleep. And of course, if you can fall asleep when you're chanting, then you better just stand up, you know, walk back and forth and things like that. Some devotees, there's a different type. That's one type of inattention. Another type of inattention is you're thinking of something else. Just like we all have things we do during the day. I hope we have things we do during the day other than sleeping and eating. But so we were planning out, you know, in our minds, especially if you're engaged in management, it's like that. You know, you're thinking, what about this temple? You know, especially GBC, you're thinking, oh, this temple, that temple. So in other words, your mind gets diverted into a lot of different things that you're, that's another thing, diversion. You understand? Thinking about other things. And then the third type of inattention and chanting, it's just not being forceful. That's what we call sankirtan, you know, forceful chanting, complete chanting, not being absorbed. In other words, spaced out, to use the modern nomenclature. It's not that you're thinking of anything else, and you're not sleeping either. It's just like... you know, just like you're in what we call hypnotism, a hypnoidal trance. Not even that, because you're not focused. I mean, you're just like, I like that joke that I told the other day, you know, Prabhu, wake me up when my rounds are over. You've heard that one before? Yeah, I'm sure you've heard that. Or tell me when my rounds are over. That would be more precise. You know, tell me when they're over. I mean, put myself, it's like a, yeah, just like the other day, there were two pilots that were flying the plane to Hawaii. I don't know if any of you read about this, maybe the news. And they put the plane on automatic, and they both went to sleep. And so they overshot Hawaii. they try to call him on the radio. No. You know, what are you doing? You know. And then the other planes went up, and they said, you know, try to call them on the, you know, plane-to-plane intercom or something like that. I said, hey, what are you doing? And the two pilots were... So finally, but actually only overshot by about 60 miles. Yeah, I think it was the island Hilo. or the town of Hilo, which is another island of Hilo. It's a big island. And so they overshot, and then they said, oh, where are we? Oh. And then they turned the plane around. And went in for a landing. Of course, they were suspended as pilots. You can understand that after doing something like that. So sometimes our chanting is like that. We put it on like automatic pilot, you know. We just set the compass in the right direction, the GPS in the right direction. And it sounds like we're chanting Hare Krishna, but, you know, we're on automatic pilot. Anyway, so the point is to be attentive. Well, if we're attentive while we're chanting, I don't think it's possible to make any of the other offenses while we're chanting, because that's what you're thinking of. I mean, how can you make any offense if you're just thinking of the holy names, right? Of course, when you're not chanting, you can do other things, but at least when you're chanting, you should be very forceful. That's sankirtan, getting back to the point. So that's sankirtan. That's actually what sankirtan means, in addition to the other meanings I gave. So I was thinking about this. I was reading the Shikshastika the other day, Prabhupada's translation, so I pulled out the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I was thinking, you know, what will enthuse us to be attentive while we're chanting? And then I pulled out the first verse of the Shikshastika. You all know that verse, right? Chaito Dharpa Navarsham, etc. And Prabhupada's translation here, which is actually a very wonderful purported translation, the translation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I prefer that to the translation in the songbook, because it's actually, you know, it really deals deeply with devotional service and Prabhupada. Anyway, so actually in this first verse, we're not going to do a whole class on the first verse, which we could, it actually gives you it lists seven benedictions that you get from chanting the holy names attentively. It's pretty cool, isn't it? You get seven things. Yeah, it's unlimited things, but there's seven things listed here by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I'll mention what they are. It's, of course, the verse is, let there be all victory for the chanting of the holy name of the Lord Krishna, which can cleanse the mirror of the heart, stop the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. The chanting is the waxing moon that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities, is the life and soul of all education. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. It is a cooling effect, gives cooling effect to everyone, and enables one to taste the full nectar at every step. Prabhupada's translation. So let's list the things you get from chanting. I mean, this is pretty inclusive. It cleanses the mirror of the heart. That means all this dirty stuff that you've accumulated for many, many births. Prabhupada at other times talks about the heart being dirtied for many, many births, his tenure in the material world. That's the first thing you get. Okay, here's the benefit. You should list the benefits. You know, like if you're going to do anything in the material world, what do? You list the pros and the cons, positive, negatives, interesting points, right? Isn't that strategic planning or something like that? You say, here's the pros. I can't think of any cons to chanting. Anyway, so the pros are it cleanses your heart. That's cool. I needed a bath. My heart certainly needed a bath. It's like a mirror. And you can see, you know, like the glasses. Another example would be the glasses. Sometimes when I'm in front of the deities, I'm saying, boy, the deities look real blurry today. Am I in bad consciousness? And then I realize I just have to go like this. And then I can see the deities clear. So it cleanses the heart, mirror the heart. And then you can see yourself, you can see Krishna. Stops your miseries, stops the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. That's the second one, right? That's cool, isn't it? We want that too. It's the waxing moon. Number three is the waxing moon. There's seven of them, as I said before. It spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. Wow, that's a tremendous metaphor there. And, you know, it's just like a beautiful moon and lotus flower opening up, and you got good fortune, all types of good fortune. And then you get educated. It's the life and soul of all education. Pretty cool. That's number four. You get knowledge, transcendental knowledge. Expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. Shoo. That's five. Wow. Gives a cooling effect to everyone.
cooling. It's like the soothing cooling of the moon. You know, the moon has a cooling effect, gives the taste of the vegetables, like Prabhupada said, and Bhagavad Gita actually says that, and the taste of the vegetables. So, and then finally, that was six, yep. And finally, enables one to taste nectar, full nectar. Not just nectar, but full nectar at every step. That's pratipadam purna amrita. It's not just amrita, it's purna. It's full nectar or complete nectar at every step. So these are the pros. The cons, there's no cons. There's no negatives. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Can you find anything else in the world that you're going to do that, you know, there's no negatives? Like if you think, you know, I'm going to go to school, get educated. Okay, the pros, you make more money, right? Make more money, support a family, have regulated income, always secure cons. I got to spend 4 years struggling with this thing. You know, no, you balance it out. I mean, anything you do in this world, you got to balance it out. I mean, you buy a car or a computer. I mean, sometimes when I'm looking to buy some new thing, I'll look at the reviews and find the pros and the cons for something. Like any car you buy is like that. Has it's safe, but very little trunk space. You know, that's a con. But the holy names have no cons to them. They're all pros. Okay? And then, so then, in the next verse, we're just going to cover the next verse. We're not going to do the whole Shikshastika. Which is what I said yesterday, that nam namakari bahuda nijasarva saktis the trapitadni matas maranena kala etadrashi tava kripa bhagavan mama api duraiva mitrusham ihan nani ihajani nanuraga. Listen to how Prabhupada translates this. My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name, there is all good fortune for the living entities, and therefore you have many names, such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you have expand yourself. You have invested all your potency in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls by liberally teaching your holy names, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. So this is like a purported translation. Obviously, the offenses are not actually mentioned in the Sanskrit here, but Prabhupada actually tells us in his translation why we don't have an attachment. Because we're committing offenses. You know, offenses in the holy name, against the holy name or to the holy name. So therefore, it behooves us to be really, really careful about the offenses. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we have three stages in chanting Hare Krishna, right? What are the three stages? Nobody knows? What? The who stage? The first stage is the offensive stage. What's the second stage? Clearing stage. Prabhupada also talks about this. And the third stage is the pure stage. Pure stage. Pure stage. Three stages. So offensive stage means that we are committing these offenses and we're not trying to get rid of them. We're just like, well, it's me, you know, what can I do about it? And second stage is we may still be slipping up, and we probably are slipping up from time to time, but we're trying to bring our mind back when we're chanting. You understand? Every time we're chanting, we're trying our best. Krishna sees that. That's called the clearing stage. And the final stage, is actually, you know, the pure stage where the mind automatically goes to Krishna and you don't have to worry about bringing the mind back because, or committing offenses. So, the question is, you know, how can we actually chant nicely so that we do get an attachment for chanting? And that, as we mentioned before, we study the Shikshastika. And in our class in the Bhajan Rahasya, we've actually gone through all the verses of the Shikshastika too, and we've also correlated, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all the verses of the Shikshastika with particular stages of devotional service, right? Like the first Shikshastika refers to what stage of devotional service? Shraddha. You know, faith. That means you're getting all these benedictions from the chanting of the holy names, and you have faith in those benedictions. So you concentrate on that. You know,
this is what I'm going to get. And, you know, so many times we think, well, I'm chanting, but I got to do something else. You know, something else. Let me plan out my life while we're chanting. I get some of my best ideas when I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Anyone ever think like that? Some of the best ideas I have for preaching, the best ideas I have for serving, making money, they come while I'm chanting. It's an ideal time for brainstorming. Does anyone have that? Yeah, you felt like that before. And, you know, there's a tendency. That's why, you know, that's why out of the times during the morning program, I'll take notes about things that come to my mind. You know, I have my little notepad in my pocket. Usually keep a little note, the paste-up notes or whatever they call it. So, but I won't do that during japa because it's, you know, it just sets a tendency that I'm going to start brainstorming during japa. So we have that faith. That's the faith that if I just chant well, then at the other times of the day, I'll get the right intelligence. Everything will come out all right at the rest of the time of the day. That should be what we believe in. In other words, that's all I have to do during that time when it's japa. That's all I have to do. You know, unless you have deity service, I understand that, or other things, responsibilities. But at least when you're chanting, that's it. You know, your mind doesn't have to do anything else at that particular juncture. So that's shraddha. Everybody understands that? That's the faith, firm faith. That's really, that's what you need to develop to actually proceed in devotional service. That firm faith is that. That's all I have to do is concentrate on Krishna's name. And then the second verse is actually even more interesting. It's sadhu, sangota, bhajana kriya, nartana vritti, right? Three things you get out of the second verse. That's, of course, so you associate with the devotees, sadhu, sangota, bhajana kriya, you perform the acts of devotional service, and you get rid of the anartas. So I think for most of us, We should be dealing with this verse primarily, the second verse primarily. That is, you know, concentrate on the art and arthas and understanding why we don't have a taste for chanting and controlling the mind and focusing it on the holy names so that the taste comes. And the taste will come if we actually avoid offenses. It's actually assured that it'll come like that. So anyway, this is what I wanted to talk about. I don't think we'll have time to go onto the Chaitanya Shikshamrita this morning, although we were going to talk a little bit about prema, the qualities of prema, but there's no time for this. But I wanted to leave you all with this particular message about the holy names, as it is our most important activity to be chanting properly. And everything else will come from it. Have faith in Krishna's holy names, and particularly avoid offenses and engage in forceful chanting, don't sleep, and don't think of anything else during the chanting. So we got about 4 more minutes. So any questions or comments? Yes.
How do you prevent from thinking about
things? Don't do a negative, because you can't do a don't. But think about these verses. Yeah. That's what I do when I'm thinking about first of all, you get all these benedictions by chanting. That's pretty attractive, isn't it? If someone tells me you'll get good fortune, you get freedom from birth and death, you get the white lotus of good fortune, you know, let's go back to all the samma. You get the heart cleansed. I get, wow! Then I better pay attention. So, you know, it's an impetus. So you think about it positively. In other words, what you get from it. And also, there always should be a sankalpa. Sankalpa means you should have something you're praying for or wanting to get when you're chanting. Prabhupada talked about this. You know, why we should ask ourselves, why am I chanting? I mean, because it could be any of these 7 things. And it could be other things, too, as one advances. Like, you know, I want to be situated eternally in Vrindavan, serving Krishna, you know, whatever. Or you can be praying for a devotee, you know, something spiritual like that. But you should have some reason why you're chanting. Not that I'm just chanting because I have to, supposed to. It's my duty. That's not bad, but if there's a sankalpa, reason I am chanting to reestablish my relationship with Krishna, something really strikes your heart. I mean, you do want to get freed from material miseries, don't you? No? Okay. You're the first person I met who didn't. But anyway, you want to taste full nectar at every step. You want to cleanse the heart. So I got a lot of things that are real positive impetuses for us when we're chanting, isn't it? And this shikshastika is so important. The devotees should regularly study it. And I'm not just saying they should recite it, ritualistically, like they do, Tantra Opera Namajra, like they should actually study the word-by-word translations of Prabhupada's presentation in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is especially important. You should keep these always in your heart. And especially Prabhupada's translations, they are actually amazing of the Shikshastika. And Lord Chaitanya's comments. Of course, there's many ways to understand. There's actually an esoteric way to understand the Shikshastika, which is, Radharani speaking, But that's maybe beyond us, right, at this particular juncture. So, any other questions or comments? Yeah.
How should one think of just in the beginning when it starts chanting?
Throughout, in the beginning. But it's good to declare it. Like when, in the Vedic ceremonies, you always declare your sankalpa before you do it. Like in a marriage, I've always given the example of marriage. Today, we are getting Devi and Dasi. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Das and Devi. I made a mistake. That wasn't deliberate. But I get Das and Dasi married on this such and such day of June and, whatever it is. And then you have to remember what you're doing throughout the whole thing. So it's in the beginning. And then praying, Krishna, I want it. Just like that Bhaktivinoda Thakur song, what, Kabi Habi Bolo Daisy. When will this day be mine? I want that taste. So, if you want something, we should be begging. Prabhupada said crying. Isn't it Prabhupada said we should be like a child crying for his mother? So that's the point. It's our sankalpa. We are crying for something spiritual, hopefully. Not my dear Lord, send me.